This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Even with all the shifts in national consciousness that have happened over the past couple of weeks, we can say that stories about people of color are, to this very day, this very hour, still deeply underrepresented in traditional media. Now, if you narrow your lens and you think about the coverage gap for stories about Native people, that divide is especially stark. There are 12 federally recognized tribes within Michigan, not to mention any number of other Native people from other places who make homes here and work here. But we still have failed to proliferate coverage around people and Indigenous issues. A new initiative called the Michigamming Journalism Project is creating 6-month-long fellowships for Native people at the Traverse City Record Eagle. And today, we're very happy to welcome two of the journalists working on the project, Sierra Clark and Megan Gupta. Also with us is Kayla Fond, a JADA journalist and Report for America fellow at the Record Eagle. Sierra, Megan, Kay, welcome all of you to Stateside.
Thank you.
Miigwech.
Thanks for having us.
Can we start out, Megan, and maybe Kay also? Could you tell us the origin story of this project and how your conversation began?
The Report for America position that I have has a service requirement. And I thought, well, I'd really love to train other journalists, mentor other journalists. And I really wanted to do something that would put more Indigenous journalists in newsrooms in Michigan covering Indigenous people. And so I thought, well, maybe I can train some aspiring Indigenous journalists. It was going to be a much less ambitious affiliation, but then I met Megan and we got a donor, and I'm going to let her pick it up from here because I think she'll do a better job.
Yeah, Megan, tell us what was going on with you and your work at the time when you and Kay started talking.
Of course, yeah. So I am a rising senior at Yale, and this summer I had taken on an internship with Bridge Michigan. I was working with Bridge Michigan to establish a more regular tribal affairs reporting focus area. Kay reached out to me when I announced that I was, you know, starting with this position and just getting to know people and key players. And we just kind of started talking about this project. It started out, I think, on a smaller scale of just thinking, hey, like, can we find a way to do an educational training kind of journalism program for some tribal members and pay them for freelance work? And so originally that's kind of what we started out with. And then that's how Kay introduced me to Sierra and Katie and Susie, who are the other journalists affiliated with the project. But we ended up getting a really beautiful, generous donation. And so we were able to turn it into more of a fellowship, in which this can be a part-time and full-time job for our group, and something that, you know, we want to make more permanent and we're seeing, you know, a really big future in. So that's kind of how it started up.
Megan, could you tell us a little bit about your experience about how overwhelmingly white newsrooms have missed the mark in their coverage of Indigenous people here in the state?
You know, I'm a Sioux tribe member, and I grew up with my family and my community and having really strong ancestral ties to Sault Ste. Marie and Michigan in general. But the coverage that I was seeing both in Michigan and nationally just wasn't doing it for me. Usually, you know, Natives aren't really discussed that much in mainstream journalism, but when they are, it's often damage-centered. So we have like stereotypes, you know, like there'll be discussions only of poverty or only of casinos. And there's not a robust, nuanced understanding of our cultures and our histories and federal Indian laws and policies that have brought us to this point. And so in light of that, I started Indigenizing the News, which is my own digital news source that I created that I'm so excited is going to be partnering with the Record Eagle in this. And it's an online news source. People can see it at indigenizingthenews.com. We have a monthly newsletter. We send out a ton of news, original reporting, resources, videos, photos, in an attempt to really reshape a false narrative about Indigenous peoples that has been propagated by the media, and like really reshape that narrative and turn it into one that we're defining for ourselves and we're taking agency and ownership of.
Sierra Clark, Could you tell us about how you've seen media outlets or just journalism itself fail Indigenous communities here in Michigan?
What I really wanted to reiterate is that it's not just journalism that needs to be addressed. It's a systemic racism as whole. It's in the education field, medical, environmental, and media. They all continue to fail to acknowledge the problem by failing to include Indigenous communities in the conversation. I've experienced it in journalism, but I've also experienced it as a student, as a mother, and as a community member in Traverse City. But more specifically, journalism has failed by continuing to cover Indigenous stories without Indigenous representation. It feels that token Indians are often brought in as a way of, look, we have their approval, or look, we looked at their community, did a story on their community, but they really fail to look at the contextual depth of who we are.
I suppose it's not incidental, as we, you know, as we circle this question of systemic racism, that we've seen a couple of other startups, even as the Michigummi project has gotten underway. We had a conversation with some folks with an operation called Candor Media that are doing a bilingual online news service aimed at Latinx communities. And there's also Bridge Detroit, which is now covering the city of Detroit with a staff entirely made up of people of color. That certainly seems to bolster your point about the systemic problems. Tell us about what you hope to accomplish with your own journalism.
I want to really put out there that I'm concerned that I might lose myself in the system. I'm scared that there's going to be an image of me that will be portrayed that really lacks the contextual depth of who I am. Above anything else, I am an Anishinaabe Kwe and proud water protector. I'm above those with any degree or job that I hold. And I only entered this field because I felt the need to step up and hold journalism, public radio, and media accountable so that we all can move forward. A lot of public radio institutions, including Michigan Radio, are affiliated with land grant universities, which would not exist without the land theft and genocide of Indigenous communities, more specifically in Michigan being Anishinaabe people. The whole system has benefited from these actions and continues to do so. So that's why I'm here. It's not for me or any personal gain, but for the next seven generations. So my hopes and goals is to abolish the system as we know it and create something where Indigenous people feel represented, they feel included, and they feel that they are not learning about themselves through another perspective.
What are some places that you want to take your own reporting with this project?
So my degree is in freshwater science and sustainabilities, and I got that degree because as an Anishinaabe Kwe, I am a water protector. That is one of my identities. I really at one point was dreaming of going and serving Indigenous communities to try and do water testing or serve a purpose in that way. And I really do feel that in this position that I'm in now, that might be far more obtainable. I want to investigate water quality that's affecting Indigenous communities and hold the companies that are poisoning them accountable. Being in the scientific field, I have also seen a lack of understanding with Indigenous communities. I walk within two worlds right now, one being Western science and then one of ancestral teachings that have been passed down to me. And it's been a really weird and uncomfortable place to be for a while. You know, on one hand, I have Western science telling me that these teachings aren't correct because they're not backed up by science, but I know my culture, I know my people, and I believe in the teachings that are given.
That's a lot of code switching work.
Mm-hmm. It's often confusing, and at times I've sat down with almost identity crisis, and I feel that a lot of Indigenous people who walk in these two worlds feel the same way.
If you're just joining us, my guests are Sierra Clark and Megan Gupta with the Mishigaming Journalism Project. We're also talking with Kay LaFond, a data journalist and fellow at the Traverse City Record Eagle, who helped to get the project going. Megan, could you tell us a little bit about how you're navigating your storytelling and some of the same challenges that Sierra was talking about? You know, mediating, you know, who you're speaking with your writing and what you're saying to them?
I think that's a really important aspect of storytelling and Indigenous journalism in general, is thinking about what your audience is, who you're writing for, the impact that this past kind of problematic journalism has had on Indigenous peoples is that it really propagates negative stereotypes against us. And it really, you know, allows for racism and invisibility and erasure to continue against us. And so in my own storytelling, in my own writing, it's really important, at least for me in the past year now of writing, is trying to really drive home the point that, you know, tribal affairs journalism, Indigenous communities, Indigenous issues are really important, because not only are these communities, you know, historically underrepresented, but also that, you know, it's your responsibility as a non-Indigenous person to understand the contemporary issues that we're facing and to work with us to fight against them. This is a collective responsibility. This isn't just a burden that's all going to fall on Indigenous communities. So I think that's a huge part of why our issues need to be discussed more in mainstream journalism, is that it shows people like, hey, there's like this, you know, urban Indigenous center that's closing down in your community. And even though you're not Native, your neighbors are affected. And environmental issues, health issues, economic issues, all of these things impact the entire Michigan community. I really want to emphasize that it's a collective responsibility for all of us to be working for tribal affairs.
You know, it's interesting looking at Indigenous media, both in the States and Canada, you know, how the cross currents of identity have worked out. These are media organizations that have to speak to people of many different Native cultures and many different backgrounds. And there's some shared experience, and there's some things that are very different.
Yeah, I think that's a really important point that you're bringing up, and something that is another thing that I hope, and I know Sierra and Kay all hope to incorporate in our writing, is that Indigenous peoples are a monolithic group of people. We all have different histories and different cultures and different types of governments and different types of economic systems. And so, I mean, Michigan itself, even the 12 federally recognized and 4 state recognized tribes, all have similar but also different aspects of their histories and culture. And so some, you know, broader questions that I have really been interested in, thinking about treaty rights for fishing and hunting, especially in the Great Lakes. I think it's also the Enbridge Line 5 news that we're seeing. I think another point that we definitely need to talk about in Michigan more is the crisis of missing and murdered Indigenous women, which is a huge crisis, and it's affecting everywhere, and it's something that hasn't been covered enough.
Sierra, what would you add? What do we mean when we're thinking about a source that's really going to resonate for people here?
I do want to look more broadly at the systemic racism that is in everything as we know it, from being in the education system, mainstream media, mascots, the way that children are taught. I was just talking with one of my friends yesterday, and we took a stroll around Traverse City, and she's like, well, I see all these like statues and little histories, but where's the Anishinaabe representation? And I kind of chuckled, and I said, we get one little mural under a bridge. Number one, I want representation. I want to do this not for me, but for us, for the next seven generations, so that my children, my great-grandchildren, can look and read these stories and learn about themselves through themselves and not a perspective that knows nothing of who they are.
Sierra, is your hope that maybe some of this project might inspire other Native people who might want to get into storytelling, in similar venues?
Yes. Specifically in Anishinaabe, we are an oral culture. We are known for storytelling. And one of the reasons that I decided to take on this project was so that maybe another Indigenous person can read my stories and become hopeful and think, you know what, I can do that too. If she can do that, I can do that. And to me, that would be a big win, is even if it was just one person that was able to read my story and hear the voice and feel confident enough to go into an institution that historically has not made room for them.
Megan and Kay, work in this kind of way often includes several different stages. There's getting something started, and then there's making sure that the people who were involved have an avenue if they want to stay with it. What are your long-term hopes for this?
This is something that was able to happen because we had a very, very generous donor who really believed in this mission, you know, donated enough money for us to work out to, support the varying needs and schedules of these women for the next 6 months. But we want to keep it going. And, you know, even long term, we'd love to be able to fund Indigenous people in newsrooms all around the state, right? So this is starting at the Record Eagle because I work at the Record Eagle, and I have an amazingly supportive boss at the Record Eagle. But we would love to, you know, be able to raise enough money to just keep this going for as long as our current fellows want and need support, and then also to add more fellows.
The project is still evolving, and we like to think of it as kind of a growing network of something that's just going to continue growing and evolving. And I think what Kay said is so important, is that we're really trying to decrease the barriers to access this type of work and this type of storytelling. And so we're not, you know, looking for a certain degree qualification of our journalists or any kind of like experience or expertise already, but we're looking for people who, you know, want to write about their own communities. Those people, I feel like, bring such a great passion. And so that's kind of the type of framework that we want to build and just keep it growing from there.
We've been speaking with Megan Gupta, Ojibwe from the Sault Ste. Marie Tribe of Chippewa Indians, and with Sierra Clark, Odawa Ojibwe. And also with us is Kay LaFond, data journalist and reporter for America Fellow at the Record Eagle. They are among the folks who've been working together on the Michigumming Journalism Project. Hey, I want to thank you all so much for all the work you're doing and for taking some time to tell us about the work, too.
Yeah, thank you.
My pleasure having me.